हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So continuing now in the chapter on Yudhishthira's fear. So now we'll begin the second day of battle. As the sun rose on the second day of battle, the Pandava forces arranged themselves in the Krancha formation. Seeing this formidable array with this Adiratas and Maharatas stationed at key points, Duryodhana asked Bhishma to form a counter-array of his own troops. Bhishma formed his forces into another mighty vyuha. Right, because the crow, you're going to have that nice, you know, it's not a long point, it's going to be a short point like this, but then immediately you're going to come back in shoulders, the main people can be there, and then it goes out again into the wings, so there's going to be main people here, and then it'll go back into like this. So you're going to have these key positions, so if somebody's here avoids this, then if they move over too far, they're going to get these guys from the wings. And if they avoid them, then they're going to hit the people that are here. You know what I'm saying? So these vyuhas are very far out. So this one was made by Brihaspati. You know, because otherwise normally, you know, you have these round ones or these others or like this. But this was very much more complex. As countless conches and trumpets were sounded, the two armies attacked. Bhishma headed the Kaurava attack personally. He immediately assaulted the foremost Pandava fighters led by Drishtadyumna, Abhimanyu, Bhima, and Arjuna. Under Bhishma's attack, the Pandava vyuha wavered. Charioteers and horsemen fell in quick succession. Bhishma's gold-winged arrows whistled through the air with deadly accuracy. The Pandava troops were terrified as the old Kuru hero continuously showered them with his shafts. Seeing the carnage, Arjuna was infuriated. "Go, O Arjuna, to the place where the grandfather stands. It seems he will annihilate our entire army for Duryodhana's sake. Therefore, I will kill him." "Be on your guard," Krishna cautioned. "I will now take you to Bhishma." Right? Because he's going to take him now, so be ready, because as soon as he gets within range, the fighting will start. As Krishna crossed the field, Arjuna set arrows in all directions, killing the Kaurava forces in large numbers. The twang of his bow, the slap of the string on his leather fences, and the whistling of arrows leaving his bow made one continuous sound. An endless line of shafts emanated from his chariot in many directions as he whirled about. Because also being ambidextrous, then, you know, if he's shooting from this side, he'll use the bow in this hand, shoot with the right, like this. But if there's somebody on this side, the bow will be in this hand, and he'll shoot this way. Because otherwise he has to completely turn, and then your back is here. While here, he's more safe, he can see. It's just, you know, he's over here, like that. But otherwise, if he has to go this way, he has to turn, he can't see what's there. So he's at a great advantage over other warriors, just on that one thing alone. Then his prowess. Even his prowess, if he just used one hand, he'd still be who could fight with him. But then he uses both. Bhishma saw him approach. The great chariot with its white horses, huge eight banner, and numerous other celestial flags was easy to recognize. Remember, it's come down from the heavenly planets, this chariot. It's not one from here. It was given by Agni, arranged it, but I think originally it came down from the higher planets. Without delay, Bhishma sent 80 long shafts at Arjuna. At the same time, Duryodhana sent another 60, while Kripa fired 50 and Drona 25. Many other powerful warriors supporting Bhishma also trained their arrows on Arjuna. Although struck on all sides, Arjuna was unmoved. He sent his own arrows at his assailants, piercing each of them. That means they've sent the arrows. He has to counter all those arrows, and then on top of that, send more arrows that attack him. So for someone who's not so good, they're attacked. They can't defend as well. But then you see, as if they're good, they're attacked, they can defend it. But if they're better, they can defend it and attack at the same time. So that's why you see it was before was the, who was it? He died? The, who was? Sweta. So Sweta could do that. So it's, because otherwise you're attacking somebody and others attack you, then your attack stops. You just start defending. But he could still defend and attack, so he was so much more dangerous. So that's why, you know, if they didn't kill him immediately, then they'd lose so many forces. Satyaki, Virata, Drustadumna, and Draupadi's sons came to support him as he targeted Bhishma. Each engaged one or more Kuru heroes, leaving Bhishma unprotected. Right, because now they're attacking them, so they'll be able to do and send something back, but they won't be able to fight with everybody. And so now Arjuna is free. You know, so this is part of the tactic, is that if these two are fighting, but they have those who support, like it says, you know, how you say Yudhishthira is there, and then flanked on each side is Bhima and Arjuna, they're protecting Yudhishthira. So when Yudhishthira fights, they protect that others can't attack him. Understand? Unperturbed, Bhishma quickly sent another 80 arrows that wounded Arjuna and sent him reeling in his chariot. The Kaurava shouted with joy. This infuriated Arjuna. He quickly regained his stance and had Krishna drive his chariot towards the Kaurava heroes, attacking all of them with arrows fitted with heads shaped like calves' teeth. Because calves' teeth, they got a little curve to them, so they're really tough arrows. Suffering Arjuna's attack, the Kauravas resembled an ocean leashed by a tempest. Their armor was torn off because it has fineness, it can go in. Other ones may just hit, but these ones, because they can go in and open things, and, you know, like that. So it says it's torn off, so it's not that it just goes up, unbuttons the thing, it takes it off nicely. And their bow is repeatedly shattered. Arjuna routed them by the thousands, and they fled in terror. Duryodhana quickly rode up to Bhishma, who had not followed through on his attack on Arjuna. He called out, "O sire, see how this mighty Pandava is cutting down our troops like a farmer cutting wheat. How can you allow this? Only for your sake has Karna laid aside his weapons. As a result, it seems Arjuna will destroy us all. Act quickly to protect us, O son of Ganga." So he's making it, means here he's not being so critical, but he's basically pointing out, as you're not attacking, you're not doing this, and what are you doing? You know, otherwise, I mean, Karna would do it. But the point is if Karna is so great, why isn't he on the battlefield? He has such pride that Bhishma tells him the truth, and he won't accept it, and so I won't fight as long as he's on the battlefield. What has that got to do with supporting Duryodhana? How is that a hero? Like that. A proud hero, yes, but, you know, a real hero? But, you know, it's Krishna's arrangement. Bhishma looked at the agitated prince. "Fie upon the Kshatriya's duty," he replied. Right, because he has to understand, these are his nephews. They're Duryodhana's cousins. Cousins, Duryodhana simply sees them as enemies. That's it. No relationship. Bhishma is starting to ask according to, you know, means you're fighting, but, you know, then there's some consideration. But Duryodhana, it's all about him. He's the center of the universe, so nothing else matters. He did not want to face the Pandavas in battle, but he knew it could not be avoided. As he went towards Arjuna, the Kauravas cheered and blew their conches. Duryodhana, Ashwatthama, and Dushasana went with him on his two sides and at its rear. The two Adhiratas, Bhishma and Arjuna, exchanged arrow for arrow. Each fighter released first 10, then 100, then 1,000 shafts. Arjuna sent so many arrows at Bhishma that he seemed to be covered by a net. But the Kuru hero soon dispelled the arrows with his own and quickly counterattacked Arjuna. As they fought, both were pleased by the other's prowess, right? Because if you're so expert at something, or let's say in this case, master of something, to see someone else who's a master is always inspiring. You know, for others, is that always good, you know, this and that, but, or if he's good, you don't want to acknowledge it. Here, masters, they'll acknowledge, even if it's an enemy, but they respect, you know, he's got the same. So we're qualified to fight each other because we have the same qualification. neither could gain the advantage. Krishna was struck on the breast by 3 arrows and blood flowed from his wounds. As he dexterously drove the horses, he appeared like a blossoming kinsuka tree with bright red flowers. Standing on the chariot, he made it advance and retreat with beautiful circling motions. So swift was his movement that Bhishma found it difficult to aim at Arjuna. See, that's the thing, is that the expert charioteer, he can drive it such a way that it makes it difficult for others to shoot. And at the same time, he can drive it such a way, he can break through others, defenses. Like that. So it's not just that he knows, it's not like like the stick or something, like that, herding the cows down the road, Like this. This is their very, very integral part of the combination here. That was why Krishna driving for Arjuna, no one's better than Krishna. And so to get something similar, that's why they wanted Shalya. Because then he's a very good, if you could compare anyone to Krishna on the planet, Shalya is the only one that comes close. So then, and they're comparing Karna with Arjuna. So then Duryodhana's idea, Shalya with Karna, will then be a match for Arjuna and Krishna. He too wheeled rapidly around the field, confusing Arjuna's aim. The earth meets Bhishma. The earth trembled under the chariot wheels and apparently ready to split open. Those who witnessed the fight were wonderstruck. They could not mark any difference between the two combatants, nor see any flaw in their fighting techniques. So when these big Atiratis start fighting, even sometimes the Maharatis, if something's really exceptional, other fighters will stop fighting and just watch. Like that, because it's their fighters. That's their life. So anyone who's exceptional in it, then it will be appreciated. Right? So it's more than just an effectiveness, it's a culture. And so when it's going on, others will watch and appreciate. And then when it's done, then they'll get back to the fighting. Most of the time, both remained invisible between a network of arrows. In the sky, the celestial said, "These two cannot be defeated by any foe, earthly or divine. Surely this battle will be without end." Right? Because Bhishma is half human, half celestial, and Arjuna is also. And Bhishma has been trained in the heavenly planets, but also Arjuna went to the heavenly planets. He's trained by Drona, who's so special. So, there's very great similarity here. Because the celestials know, because Arjuna came and fought for them. And people they could not defeat, Arjuna defeated single-handedly. They, as the host of demigods, couldn't defeat. Arjuna alone could defeat. So it's special. While Arjuna and Bhishma fought, the two armies continued cutting each other down. Drona and Drishtadyumna contended like two enraged lions, as guru and disciple battled. The contest was no less spectacular than that between Arjuna and Bhishma. Right? So Drona is, he's special, and so he's he's not born in an ordinary way, and just Duryodhana is born from the fire. So then both of these persons, their birth is very special, right? Their prowess. As guru and disciple battled, the contest was no less spectacular than that between Arjuna and Bhishma. Both pierced the other's armor, and both stood as immovable as the Himalayan mountains. Drishtadyumna, conscious of his destiny to kill Drona, constantly sought an opportunity to slay his opponent, but Drona repeatedly and fearlessly confounded his attacks. The martial preceptor displayed his unmatched ability as he fought Drupad's son. At one point, seeing his chest, Drishtadyumna hurled a long dart adorned with gold and Vaidurya gems. It flew like a streak of lightning towards Drona. The moment it was released, however, Drona shot 3 razor-headed arrows that cut it to pieces in mid-air. It fell to the earth like a shower of meteors. So a shower of meteors means it's cut to pieces, but it's also, it's effulgence and all that, and then, it'll fall in those pieces like that. Infuriated, Drishtadyumna rained down arrows upon Drona. But the Kuru warrior checked them all and at once cut apart Drishtadyumna's bow with a crescent-headed shaft. He then killed his 4 horses and smashed his chariot. clutching a massive mace. Drishtadyumna leapt from the smashed chariot. Drona immediately struck the mace with a volley of arrows and shattered it into small pieces. Drishtadyumna took out his long sword and raised his shield adorned with 100 gold moons, ran at Drona. Seeing him charging like a hungry lion running at an elephant, Drona checked him with a cluster of barbed shafts. Drishtadyumna could not take another step, but was forced to ward off the arrows with his sword and shield. Right, because he's running, you know, so you're focusing, because he's fighting, he has to stop and, you know, parry all the things that are there. So they have ways that they can do that. You know, that means that naturally the shield, you can bounce things, but also the sword, how they can do. Bhima saw him struggling, he pulled him up onto his own chariot, riding swiftly away from Drona. After Drishtadyumna had mounted a fresh chariot and turned again to face his opponent, Bhima encountered the king of Kalinga, Ketumat, and his vast army. Another monarch named Shrutayusha, who was followed by thousands of Nishada fighters, supported Ketumat. The two armies surrounded Bhima. Finding himself hemmed in on all sides by elephants, chariots, and horsemen, Bhima laughed and began unleashing his arrows in all directions. The arrows fired by Bhima's mighty arms from his huge bow passed clean through the bodies of men and horses. Because Bhima is very big, you know, so he's, you know, just like now we'll have people that are more tall. So you can take that proportion as you just keep going up. You know, it's like, let's say you have someone who's, you know, like now, someone may be, what, you know, let's say, I don't know how to say it, meters, but let's say 6 feet high. But there'll be someone else who is, you know, seven and a bit. You know, they're a big guy, you know, seven and a half. So that's 1/4. So if you're taking it, people are, you know, 10, 12 feet tall, you know, then 1/4 of that, 3, then it'll be like 15, 16 feet tall. You know, so it gets, you know. So he'll be using a bigger bow. He's stronger. His bow can be more powerful. And so if he shoots it, the arrow itself just goes through everything, let alone if you put any mantras on it. Right? But the Kalinga Nishada forces were fearless. Other Pandava troops moved in to assist Bhima. The Matsyas, Chedis, and Karushas together attacked the armies surrounding him. A terrible fight then took place. The clash of weapons and the screams of men and animals was deafening. Hacking and chopping, the soldiers made the field resemble a ghastly crematorium strewn with flesh and blood. So here you see is that there's the aspects where you're focusing on the charioteers, the Maharatis and the Atiratis. So then it's always going to be about, you know, the arrows, what weapons they're shooting, what kind of tip on the arrow, how many arrows, like this, and then who's supporting, and, you know, they're doing basically the same thing. Then you have those that are with the foot soldiers and the elephants and the cavalry on the horses. And so that's slightly different because they're, you know, means foot soldiers means they're using, you know, some kind of close battle, you know, swords and battle axes and clubs and those kind of things. The horses, they may be using javelins or bows and arrows or also swords, but then being on a horse, you can move very quickly through things like that. Elephants will be using, fighting like the... Like the chariots, you know, similar like that. But in any case, then you're going to see more kind of, it gets more messy when you as you go down the groups. They could hardly distinguish between friend and foe, and the warriors slew others from their own side. Gradually, the Nishada's troops, fighting with demoniac fury, forced back the Chedis and Matsyas. Bhima was left alone on his chariot, still surrounded by thousands of fighters. Undaunted, the Pandava stood his ground. He covered the Kalingas with showers of arrows and sent up a great cry. Ketumat and his son, Shakradev, rushed upon Bhima, letting loose numerous shafts. Roaring, Bhima took his bow and warded them off with ease. Shakradev fired a volley of shafts that killed Bhima's horses. Remaining on his chariot, Bhima fended off Shakradev's attack. He quickly took up an iron mace and hurled it at the prince. That mace sped through the air as straight as an arrow. It caught Shakradev on the chest, killing him instantly. and throwing him out of his chariot onto the earth some distance away. Yes. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.